Now, Edward St. Auburn. Sounds like a small fishing village somewhere near Penzance, doesn't it? Which is right enough, because I'm told his family once owned several of them. St. Auburn is a British novelist who has specialised in documenting the monstrosities of his own social class, that useless 1% of the population who have houses on the Riviera and don't work for a living. His trilogy of novellas, Some Hope, and its just-published sequel, Mother's Milk, record the troubled life of Patrick Melrose. And like most authors, St. Auburn has modelled his hero's life on his own. Ordinarily, this would give no one cause for concern, but his hero's life is a skimmity ride of maternal neglect, heroin addiction, and sexual abuse by his father, all of which might have earned the author a cosy niche in that new genre of semi-fictionalised memoirs of lost childhoods, that slightly pornographic Dave Peltzer school of writing that's currently making a lot of money for a lot of publishers. Except that St. Aubyn's writing commands as much attention as his sensational, confessional subject matter.
Everything was as usual. That was depression. Being stuck, clinging to an out-of-date version of oneself. During the day, when he played with the children, he was very close to being what he appeared to be, a father playing with his children. But at night, he was either aching with nostalgia or writhing with self-rejection. He was obsessed, it was true, with stopping the flow of poison from one generation to the next, but he already felt that he had failed. Determined not to inflict the causes of his suffering on his children, he couldn't protect them from the consequences. Patrick had buried his own father 20 years ago and hardly ever thought about him. At the peak of his kindness, David had been rude, cold, sarcastic, easily bored, compulsively raising the hurdle at the last moment to make sure that Patrick cracked his shins. It would have been too flagrant for Patrick to become a disastrous father, or to get a divorce, or to disinherit his children. Instead, they had to live with the furious, sleepless consequence of those things.
Earlier today, Edward St. Auburn came in to talk things through. He said that he no longer feels a personal connection to Patrick Melrose. So why did he return to the character?
I think I did feel less of a personal connection when I'd finished Some Hope, which is my trilogy of novels in which he first appears. And that was a complete story, the story of his relationship with his father. And I thought that was the only story he was needed for. But he's in a wider sense the vehicle for troubling autobiographical material. And so I brought him back for Mother's Milk, because there was another story that he should be the witness for.
There's that memorable phrase in the book about poison dripping from generation to generation. If this book had an epigraph, it would probably be something from Larkin's This Be the Verse, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think that is one of the central concerns of the book, the compulsive repetition of harmful patterns from generation to generation. And that's what Patrick Melrose is obsessed with trying to stop, and sceptical to some extent about being able to stop.
Now, the moment that you decided to concede that these novels were, the vehicles for troubling autobiographical material, that altered your relationship, I suspect, obviously with the press, with the media, but with your readers as well, I would have thought.
That's not conceded in the books, and so it needn't affect a reader who doesn't read the press. But I mean, the reason I said that was because it was true. I didn't have very much choice if I'm asked a question. I mean, except lying, but I'm not attracted to that. So I said it was autobiographical, because it is. But a lot of it is also invented. I think in some sense any writer must draw from their experience, and if I wrote about life on Mars in the 25th century, it would still be in some sense infused with my own intuitions and feelings about, you know, how people's minds work and how they relate to each other.
David leaned over and said, "Don't ever tell your mother or anyone else what happened today, or you'll be very severely punished. Do you understand?" Patrick nodded. "Are you hungry?" Patrick shook his head. "Well, I'm starving," said David chattily. "You really should eat more, you know. Build up your strength." "Can I go now?" "All right, if you don't want any lunch, you can go." David was irritated again. Patrick walked down the drive, and as he stared at the toes of his scuffed sandals, he saw instead the top of his head, as if from 10 or 12 feet in the air, and he felt an uncomfortable curiosity about the boy he was watching. It was not quite personal, like the accident they saw on the road last year, and his mother said not to look. He tried to take to the air again, the way seabirds do when a wave breaks over the rock where they were standing. But he had lost the power to move and stayed behind, drowning.
Has that any consequences for your family, publishing these novels?
Yes, it has had consequences for my family. When I wrote Nevermind, my family were largely very supportive, very kind about it. I did have to wait until my father died before writing those novels, so I'm unable to give you his reaction. But the rest of my family were relieved by my telling the truth, rather than wanting to deny it or to...
What do you imagine his reaction might have been? Or is that a facetious question? Or an impossible one to answer? But, I mean, what... That thought must have occurred to you as you were...
Well, the writing Nevermind was my most powerful possible riposte to him, because when he abused me as a child, he told me that he would kill me if I ever told anyone, and so I told everyone.
Is it revenge in any sense then, as much as a riposte?
Yes, it is revenge. Of course, there's an element of revenge in it. And transgression and liberation from the secrecy, which was part of the horror.
Edward St. Auburn. He may talk like Rupert Everett, doing an impression of Unity Mitford, but he could be the best prose stylist in the country. Mother's Milk is published by Picador. That's all from Nightways for this evening. On the next edition of the programme, Stephen Bailey celebrates the 50th anniversary of Italy's favourite stretch of tarmac by speeding his Ferrari down the A6 from Turin to Savona. Paul Allen will be screaming on the back seat. Join them on Monday at 9:30.